gonna sleep for what feels like a century. Dormant, I lie encased in this cell.
G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to EarthPod episode 360. No. 360 was ages ago. Episode 385, coming to you from the mobile EarthPod studio, heading to my place of employment. It is... Wow, what is today's date? I really should have looked at that before that. I've got no idea what today's date is. I know it's Monday, and I know I'm heading to the place of my appointment. I know what today is. It's the 10th of December. I'm heading to the place of my appointment, and it is my picnic day. Yes, it is the 10th of December. That's exactly what it is. And even though it might be my picnic day, I'm still heading to the place of my appointment, but for that I get extra money, and for that I get an extra public holiday. For really doing nothing different. So, who doesn't like that? You know, the picnic day... You know, various industries have them. Some don't have them anymore. It's basically where that industry shuts down and they all have a day off and they all get together and have a picnic and all of that sort of stuff. Butchers do it. Butchers are one of the main ones that I can think of, but there must be others, other industries out there, in Australia at least, that have a day specific for their industry. You might not find it on a calendar. You might actually have to be in that industry to find out. Like, it's not going to be on any non-work calendar that says train driver's picnic day is today. Or all of the people, the railway workers of the South Coast, picnic day is today, for instance. Train guards are on a separate day at a separate venue. But really, when you think about it, the value of this picnic day, especially if you've got families and you're prepared to travel, is awesome. Because where else, for $10, can you have your family go from your local station, and in my case, up to Gosford on the Central Coast? So there's more than $10 worth of... There's more than $10 just there. And then you... get on a bus, which is supplied, to the Australian Reptile Park. You get into the Australian Reptile Park. They give you food. You hang out with people. You look at animals. And then you go back at the end of the day, all for $10 for a family. Where else can you do that? And if you don't like what's on offer, in my case, it always seems to be the Australian Reptile Park. It's the same place every year. Once upon a time, if you were a driver, you had to pay your money for the driver's picnic, and that was it. But in recent years, what you've been able to do is to choose the picnic of your choice. As long as you brought a picnic ticket, you're entitled to everything that you get if you are actually working on the picnic day. But let's say you didn't want to go to the reptile park. Mind you, for $10, it's great value. Let's say you wanted to go to Luna Park with the guards, and it might have been $15. Even that alone, you know, $15 for unlimited rides at Luna Park, bus travel and everything that goes with the picnic, is great value. So you might want to go to the guards one. Even though you're not a guard, that's fine. You can do that once upon a time. As I said, you had to go to the driver's one. Now, I think the main reason that they do this... the picnics are usually on a Monday or a Friday. And so, if it wasn't for people like us, there wouldn't probably be many people going to the reptile park on a Monday or a Friday during the school term. So... that's why they're quite happy to throw the gates open A lot of people go there, some people probably buy lunch there, and who knows, people might actually decide to go back there when the park's actually open. So that's where I could be. I could be on the Central Coast looking at wildlife and animals and all that sort of stuff, but this is the thing about the picnic. I think if I begged... Now, let's say for a moment that I actually wanted to go. I could say to my roster clerk, or my roster god as I like to call him, because let's face it, when it comes down to organising my life, he is God. I could say to him, can you roster me off for the picnic day? I actually want to go. And he probably would. Whereas a lot of the time, oh, okay, if your roster says you're working on that day, you're working on that day, and that's pretty much it regardless. So I'm on my way to my place of employment to drive some trains again. Train driving has been awesome. There's been a lot of driving. I've had some... Oh, police motorcycle. There's been a lot of... a lot of fun. Last couple of weeks, I've had some demo work, some Mr. Shed, so that is cool as well. Anywho, this is ErkBot episode 385, and I occasionally do this show when I've got something interesting or fun, or I just feel like talking, and I've got some interesting things to talk about today in this short show as I head to my place of employment. Now, long-term listeners will, of course, remember my 2009 trip to the US, where I flew to the US on a Qantas A380. I landed in LA, and then I basically drove up the west coast of the US, across to the east coast, back down south a little bit, and then back via the south, ending up in Vegas, and then back to LA, and then flying home, over a period of about 2.5 months. If you've been around since last year, you might remember my Europe trip in 2011, or as Shauno quite rightly said, my Eurasian trip, because I spent a week in Hong Kong walking to China and Macau, and I also spent a week in Japan and a couple of months in Europe. And if you are a pretty recent listener to the show, you'll remember my recent short trips up and down the east coast of Australia, and also my week in New Zealand earlier in the year. Well, folks, I have a big announcement, and early 2013, I am heading back to the US. I am indeed heading back to the US. Now, if you know me well, you know that I love my metal music. And it was quite a while ago now that I found out about the cruise 70,000 tons of metal. So what that basically is, it's a cruise ship that's been basically hired by a company, and they put on a series of heavy metal shows on this cruise ship as we cruise around, leaving Miami, cruising around some of the Caribbean islands. We stop on a Caribbean island for a day, and then head back to Miami. So it's basically 4 days. From the 28th of January until the 1st of February is the actual cruise. There's 3 separate stages. There's 40 beds. Expected to be about 2,000 people on board. And that's not including the staff. So when you include the staff, there's probably like 4,000 people on this ship as we go sailing through the Caribbean. 3 stages, what they've actually done in the... or what they actually do in the massive movie theatre, or the indoor entertainment space, they'll take out all the seats, and so that'll be one stage. There's another stage somewhere else on the ship, and then there's also the... there's a big pool, and they'll actually empty the water out of the pool. I think it's one of 2 pools, actually, and they put a temporary stage in, and that's the big outdoor stage. So beds are on more than once, so you have the chance to see so many bands. There's 40 bands, and as I said, they play about two or three times during the 4 days. And because they're on a cruise ship, because you're on a cruise ship, where else can you go? What else can you do? You can do all the normal cruisy sort of stuff if you want. You can check out the shows. There's metal karaoke. And I have actually booked a ticket for me on this cruise. And that reminds me, I must contact them this week and let them know that I'm interested in a media accreditation. So I have booked, I am confirmed, I am on the ship. Last week, I got myself a new credit card, and I went nuts. I made the booking for the cruise. Now, depending on what sort of suite you're in, it's about $1,000 US, and that includes all your tips, all your food, all your non-alcoholic drinks, taxes and everything like that. So that's all paid for. And then what you do, when you get on the ship, if you you can set up, like you get a spending card that you can put money on. So if you want to buy alcohol or whatever, rather than having to worry about handing cash over, you just hand over the card and it takes it off, you know, like a debit card sort of thing. So that's rather cool. So I've booked the ship, so I've got a seat on that. I've booked my airfare. This time I'm flying to and from America, flying Virgin Australia on one of their 777-200ERs. So that'll be cool, that'll be an interesting experience because I've flown Virgin domestically extensively, but I've never flown with them internationally. So that's going to be rather interesting. What I've decided to do this time is basically reverse the direction of my travel around the US. Last time I went in a clockwise direction, whereas this time I'm travelling anti-clockwise, or what the Americans might call counterclockwise. So instead of going up the West Coast and then across from west to east, down the east coast and then across back by the south, I'm actually going across via the south, spending more time in the south because I didn't spend a lot of time in the south last time. And I'm actually doing that, I'm actually catching a series of trains. So I'll be on Amtrak, leaving LA, and then I'll be heading across to New Orleans, spending about a week in New Orleans. And the funny thing is, I actually arrived right at the start of the Mardi Gras Festival in New Orleans, so I've already booked that accommodation because it's going to get massive over there. Now, I won't be there for the end of, or the culmination of the Mardi Gras Parade. Also, while I'm in the States, the Super Bowl's on. I won't be in New Orleans where the Super Bowl is for that, but it'll be interesting to be over there while the Super Bowl's on. So I'm spending a week in New Orleans, so that's a perfect place to, you know, check out the city and all of that sort of stuff, and also possibly do some day trips in the south, which I didn't really do a lot of last time. Get across and then go from New Orleans up to Alexandria in Virginia, which is the first place that I can connect to get a train down to Miami. Sleeper carriages all the way, get into Miami the day before the cruise, go on the cruise, come back, maybe a side trip to Mexico while I'm close by, and then my current plan is to fly up to New York, a few days in New York, and then catch the Amtrak trains across via Chicago up to Portland, Oregon, and then head back down the West Coast, drop into San Francisco, see Sean Owen Jan in San Luis Obispo, then head back to California, the California airport, head back to LAX, and then back home. So in total, I'll be away from the 14th of January until the 27th of February. So it's about a month and a half. It's shorter than what I'm doing or what I did in 2009. I'm actually using some holidays from 2012 that I haven't used yet, plus I'm service leave. The main focus of, or the main reason I'm going, is because of the 70,000 tons of metal. So I'll be covering that for FFM Metal Monday, of course. I'll be taking you with me for Urquhart as usual, and I'm in the middle of doing all my playlists to cover me for FFM while I'm over there. One big difference that will be happening this time compared to the last time, apart from the time factor and the time that I'm going the opposite way, I'm not driving this time. I am letting the Amtrak drivers, the cruise captain, and the airlines do all the driving for me. So that's going to be one big difference. And the other difference is that I probably won't be doing any of the production of Urquhart while I'm back. Sorry, I'll be doing the recording, but I won't be doing the production of anything Urquhart while I'm over there. So I'll do that when I get back, because I'm only over there for a month and a half. So what will happen is that I'll probably record a few episodes of Urquhart over, you know, the next month before I go, and then when I come back, you'll hear what I did basically weekly. And of course, if you want to catch up with me via the social networks, Facebook or Twitter, you'll be able to keep an eye on what I'm doing while I'm over there. I won't be making as many stops because I won't be driving as I did last time. For instance, I won't be going to Reno, I won't be going to Vegas, for instance. A few of the stops that I made, I won't be making this time. I know I've had a couple of people say, hey, are you passing through wherever? The main bits that I haven't made my plans for yet is the part immediately after the cruise and the part between when I arrive in Portland and the time I go home. I haven't made those definite plans yet. I might have to do some waving to people from the train, but rest assured, I will do what I can, but yeah, I'm only there for a relatively short time this time, and I won't have the advantage of a car, but this is, I'm going to make this a different trip. I don't want to make this a carbon copy of 2009. By the time you're listening to this, I should have up on the website a separate travel section on channel8.com. So if you want to follow where I am going on this occasion, once I've got all my itinerary sorted, you'll be able to follow that. If you want to listen to what I did in 2009 and 2011 while I've been overseas, you'll be able to do that. And also, that's where the episodes will go for this trip. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've only really organised my accommodation so far for New Orleans, because I thought, well, that was rather important, considering that it's the start of the Mardi Gras Festival. Some people might want to come early because of the Super Bowl. I'm not sure, obviously, yet, who will be in the Super Bowl. It's not like here in the Rugby League in Australia or the Aussie Rules here in Australia, where they have the grand final at the same place every year. The Super Bowl for the NFL, or what we Aussies might call American football or gridiron, they have the Super Bowl in different locations every year. And it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with who's playing. So you could have like the San Francisco 49ers versus some other team. The Houston Oilers or something like that, I think they're a team, playing at New Orleans. And that's just the way it works out. Like, the New Orleans Saints could be playing, for instance. I don't know. I watch the occasional part of a game if it's on. But I don't... like, I don't know all the teams. I know the major teams. You know, like, the Chicago Bears could be playing the San Francisco 49ers in New Orleans. That's an example. And it... And that, you know, who will be playing there will come up in the next few weeks as the season comes to the grand conclusion. So really looking forward to the trip. This will be, as I said, a short trip. I'm possibly thinking of doing Japan a little bit later on in the year for another month. So the easiest way... If you want to keep in touch with what I'm doing, connect with me on the social networks, Facebook and Twitter, and you'll see what I'm doing, because I'm not trying to do this year quite in real time while I'm over there sort of, do an episode, gotta get it up. I was doing that in 2009, I'm not doing that this year. Yes, that might mean that you have to wait, but I'm sure that you would appreciate the reason that I'm doing it, because I'm over there for a shorter time. You know, I don't want to be spending nights on end editing episodes, whereas I did that to a degree in 2009. You know, I might have had a rest day somewhere, so I thought, I might edit an episode or upload it or whatever. But on this occasion, I'll be doing all the editing, post-production and uploading when I get home. But I'm sure you'll enjoy it anyway. I want to give you the feeling as if you're there. And knowing me, well, this is episode 385 as we speak. Can you imagine... And Shorto might actually know what I'm going to say. I actually haven't spoken to him about this yet. But can you imagine Erdpod episode 400 in the No Market studio in San Luis Obispo? So that gives me 15 episodes before I hit slow. Can you imagine that? Shorto's probably leaving me a comment on the show notes as we speak. Eggpod episode 400 in slow sounds like an awesome idea, your friend Shorto. That's probably what he's doing right now. Bye, Shorto. But yeah, I think that would be so cool. Episode 400 anywhere in the States would be awesome. And I just realised that when I thought, well, this is episode 385. I've got 15 episodes to go. Yeah, it'll happen. I can't, obviously, at the moment, guarantee that will be in slow, but yeah, I think it is going to be awesome! And when did I become that guy? Anywho, before I go, because I'm about 15 minutes from my place of employment, I should tell you what happened to me the other night. It was really funny. I went out for a birthday dinner at the local Penrith RSL. And so I bumped into, obviously, the people who I knew were going. And I bumped into another friend who I didn't know was going. She was there with another group. And then I could have actually bumped into Brian, or he thought he might have bumped into me. But I didn't see him, and he didn't say hi until I got home on Facebook. And he goes, "Heck, I thought I might have saw you at the RSL." Because I didn't really tell anyone I was going. You know, it was sort of a last minute thing, like, relatively speaking. Oh yeah, I'm not working. Yeah, this event's on, I'm going. So I was there, I was having a good time, I was dancing, they had a... covers band on, and then they had a DJ in between the sets there, and you know, met some nice people, so that was cool. And then coming towards the end of the night, I had to give another friend directions to get to the club. Because all he was told was the Penrith RSL. Now, in the days of smartphones and everything like that, it shouldn't be that hard to get on your smartphone, type in Penrith RSL, and then it comes up. So, it's late in the night, the DJ's on, the cover band's finished. I'm dancing in the, you know, dancing on the dance floor in front of, you know, where the DJ, or in front of the stage where the cover band was. The DJ was pumping out the tunes. Oh, I must tell you about what happened with Gangnam Style the other day too, if I remember before the end of the episode. And so my friend needed directions to get to the RSL. So I was handed a phone and it was so noisy. So I'm trying to find somewhere close by that was quieter that I could give the directions. And so, not including what I couldn't really hear at the other end of the line, he is basically the conversation in non-real time, what the conversation was like from my end. I was like, hello? Hello? Are you there? Can't hear you, hang on. I'll move somewhere quieter. Walk, 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 walk. Walk into some toilets. What? Where are you? Hang on. I'm being kicked out of those toilets. Hang on. Walk, walk, walk. I'm trying to hear my friend on the phone. Hang on. That was to the security guard. Hang on. I'll move somewhere quieter. Walk, 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 walk. Hello? Okay, so you're at Mulgoa Road? Yeah? Can you see Panthers? Have you seen Panthers yet? Hang on, I've been kicked out of the disabled toilet. Hang on. Man, what are you doing? I'm just trying to find out. I'm just trying to give my mate directions. Who cares? Hang on. I'll go into the guy's hall. They can't kick me out of there. Okay, so you're on Mulgoa Road and you're at Panthers. Okay. Go along Mulgoa Road until you hit High Street. Yeah. Turn right at High Street. Keep on going up, up, up. Until you hit Castle Ray Street. That's on the right. And then turn right. Turn right at Castle Ray Street. And it's on the corner of Tyndale. Alright, I'll see you when you get here. And as it turned out, I didn't see him when he got there at all. Because I left before he got there. Which is totally ironic. You know, the DJ was just about finished, party was over, and I just wanted to go home at that stage. And the ironic thing was, I didn't have anything to drink, and I actually felt drunker than Birthday Boy, who had been on the cans all night. So, what basically happened is that as soon as I arrived, as soon as I was given the phone, I went into the ladies' toilets because that was the closest quiet spot that I could find. And I'm basically hunched over, phone in one ear, and I'm trying to block out some noise with my hand with the other ear. And I'm looking at the ground. It's not as if I've never been in a ladies' toilet before. You know, you might remember my Europe trip last year where I went into the main toilets at the main train station in Berlin, and I thought they were unisex, but they weren't. And so, from what I could see from a few ladies, they were sort of like giving me filthies, like, you guy in the girls' toilet, get out. But I wonder how many of those girls have actually brought a guy into the girls' toilet to have sex with. maybe I'll answer another question. So the bouncers have actually, or the security guards have actually come into the ladies' toilets to remove me. So there's another two guys in the ladies' toilets. It's like, leave me alone, I'm trying to give my friend directions. So I thought, yeah, I'll go into the disabled toilet and I'll go in there, you know, and nobody will annoy me in there. And the security guards can't even kick me out of there. So I thought, well, I'll go to the guy's toilet. So wait, they can't kick me out of there, I'm a guy. But the ladies' toilets was open. I wasn't like in a cubicle or anything. I was looking down the ground most of the time. The disabled toilets, like one cubicle, and the door was open the entire time. And it's not as if there was like 50 disabled people waiting to use it or whatever. What I could have done, if I thought about it and I wanted to walk further, is that I could have went over to the poker machine area, which is quieter, but then again, you know what poker machines are like. So I thought, nah, ladies' toilets, not quieter. But hey, I got a good story out of it, I got a good laugh about it. And then when I got home, before I got home, I posted from the RSL on Facebook, I posted, kicked out of the ladies' toilets at the Rissole. Now, the Rissole has been a nickname for an RSL, also called the Razzle or the Razzle Dazzle because of the abbreviation RSL and how you say it. Yeah, just go out at the Razzle Dazzle or hang it out at the Rissole. But some people hadn't heard that being used before. And then Brad, my buddy from Foundry Road's drummer, he said something like, oh, this sounds like a Captain Picard WTF meme in the making. I'm like, well, go ahead, dude. And so a few minutes later, the meme was up. What the fuck is Eric doing in the ladies' toilets at the Rissole? So I put that up and there was a few interesting answers there. Truth be told, I was just trying to give directions, because that's just the sort of kind of guy I am. But yeah, I dare say it wouldn't be the first time that some guy's been kicked out of the ladies' toilets at the Rissole. I remember having to do that a few times myself, actually, when I was working at Town Hall Station. Before they did the toilets up, back when I was working there in 1994, the only way that you could get enough time to clean the toilets, because it was so busy and there were guys constantly in and out, was that you had to close the toilets. Because, you know, at the best of times, toilets get dirty and all of that sort of stuff. And so the only way you could really clean them properly, and it was a constant battle. They had one male member of staff dedicated per shift to do the men's toilets, and they had one female member of staff dedicated to do the female toilets. And so because of the way the toilets were set out, there was no way to basically keep the toilets partly open while you're cleaning it. It was just quicker to maybe have the toilets closed for 15-20 minutes, and then you just have it in, did the job, and of course in between time you were going in there and, you know, scooping out toilet paper or, you know, stuff, you know, cleaning up spills or whatever the best you could. But to give it a proper clean at least once a shift, if not more, I can't remember exactly how many times a shift went to close the toilet. And when it comes down to a Saturday night and you have to close the male toilets because they just get that filthy, of course, guys think, oh, well, I'll just go into the ladies' toilets. And so we had to say to guys, you can't come into the ladies' toilets. You know, we'd always try to keep one or the other open So what they've done now, since they've refurbished it and given us more toilet space in there, they've actually divided the space into two. So you could close one half, and they've done the same at places like Central. You can close one half, work on that, reopen that, and then close the other half, work on that, and then reopen that. And that is so much better. That is so much better for keeping the toilets open basically all the time, and better for cleaning them as well. Another interesting story, actually, about the Razzle Dazzle, or the Razzle, is that before I was even thought of, the site of the Penrith RSL on Castle Ray Street, my family actually used to live in the 60s and the early 70s, used to live on the side of what is now the Penrith RSL. They lived a couple of houses up from the corner of Castle Ray Street and Lethbridge Street in a house, and behind the house was a backyard and horse stables. And then eventually in the, I think it was the early 70s, before I was born, they moved up, might have been the late 60s, I'm not exactly sure of the time period, they moved up to South Penrith and then out of Castle Ray Street. Now, eventually, that whole block became, that was purchased by the RSL and then made into the RSL what it is today. But I think before the RSL took the place over and knocked the place down to renovate and become the club it is today, one of the last places, or one of the last functions of the house was actually an X-ray premises. You can get your X-rays taken from there. And I know both Mum and myself have had X-rays taken in there. Now, for me, it wasn't so strange because, you know, I'd never lived in the house. But for her, you know, she'd go up there and she'd say, oh, you know, I had my X-ray, something like, I'm paraphrasing it from memory here, something like, oh, well, if you go to this room, this is the reception, and if you go to this room, it's the waiting room. But the X-ray, where I got my X-ray done, was the old lounge room or my old bedroom or something like that. So that would have been quite strange for her. But now all that area is part of the Penrith RSL. So that is very, very strange. Had a good night. What I've been doing, I've been cutting back on the number of gigs that I've been going to because I'm at work, and on average I'm working one weekend in two. I've been cutting back. What I basically have to do before I go away, I have to make sure that I have episodes in the can for January and February for IRC FM Metal Monday. And then the March content for IRC FM Metal Monday will be recorded at 70,000 tonnes of metal, so that's a month done. And then because of that, and because of the time that I want to spend putting the metal show together and IRC Club together in March, I need to do IRC FM Australia and IRC FM International for January, February and March. So, obviously, there's been a lot of time there where I've been doing playlists and whatnot, and in the next couple of weeks I'll be recording, editing and uploading all those shows. So, it doesn't leave me a lot of time to go out. I'm restricting myself severely at the moment. But overall, it's going to be worth it, because when I'm in the States, I'll be concentrating on doing all the stuff that I've been doing over there, recording things for IRC Pod and IRC FM Metal Monday, and a lot more. Anywho, one other thing that I must do before the end of the year is to find a new theme tune for IRC Pod. I've done the same for Metal Monday and IRC FM, but I want something that's relevant for Egg Potter, that's hard. So I've just been using other music just for the moment. But, I'm going to have to look and find something. Even if it's just music without any vocals. Because the vocals for Metal Monday and Irk FM are very relevant for what the show is. But when it comes down to Irk Pod, that's a little bit harder. Anywho, I'm Irk. Thank you very much for listening. Go to the website channelirk.com for more information and to see what I'm doing across the channel Irk and a lot more. Recently celebrated episode 300 of Irk FM with Shauno and Jen, so that was rather cool. Anywho, until next time, I'm Irk. Going to take things out with a track called Beneath the Frozen Hands of Time by Rise to Avernus. They are a band, a rather awesome band, mainly from the New South Wales Central Coast, and very, very good indeed. See you next time. I'm Irk. Thanks for listening. I'm now at my place of employment. Good night, Interweb.
I've been asleep for what feels like a century. Dormant, I lie encased in this cell. Come wake me from my